This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott.
The American economy.
Climate change without.
Hacking.
Different religions in it.
Sustainability.
Social media.
Security. Freedom.
Technology.
Marriage. Essentially
ethics.
Privacy.
Today we continue our Rethink 2014 series with a whole new look at the Catholic Church. In keeping with tradition, last March, the election of a new pope was heralded with a billow of white smoke. 9 months later, Pope Francis has rejected many other customs of his office, while the media remain in a kind of papal haze. Time magazine and the gay and lesbian publication The Advocate both named Pope Francis their person of the year. Francis also topped Esquire's list of 2013's best-dressed men, and the list-happy BuzzFeed jumped on the papal bandwagon with the 19 best Pope Francis moments of 2013. Between ditching the Popemobile and taking a frugal approach to papal garb, it is easy to see why visits to the Vatican have tripled since Francis became pontiff. But do the declarations of a seemingly reformist pope signal a new era for the Roman Catholic Church, an institution more than 2,000 years old? Rethink 2014 picks up that question with Father James Martin, author of The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything and chaplain of the Colbert Report. Reverend James Martin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
All right. Chaplain of the Colbert Report. What does that mean? And did that have to be decided by a special convocation?
No, there was no conclave needed. I've been on that show, I guess, about 6 or 7 times. And I guess the second or third time, Stephen Colbert pronounced me the official chaplain, and I accepted. So my ministries are pretty circumscribed.
Who could say no? Well, not to immediately reveal your age, but you have lived through the papacy of John the 23rd, who opened the discussion of Vatican II, of Paul the 6th, have been a priest throughout the papacy of John Paul the 2nd, Pope Benedict, and now Francis. So you've got quite a perspective. Why are people so taken with Francis?
Well, that's a good question. I usually say that people just like him. I think they responded early on to a lot of the gestures that he did in terms of moving out of the Apostolic Palace, getting rid of the red shoes, driving around in a little car, and then also some of the things that he said, who am I to judge, when he was speaking about gay priests and later gay persons. I think they find him very accessible and inviting, too, when they hear him speak. So it's a combination of factors, and I think it's hard to put your finger on, but I think they find him very authentic.
Is his papacy a genuine departure? And maybe some examples of how he might compare to popes throughout the 20th and 21st centuries.
Well, it is and it isn't. It isn't in that he has not changed any church doctrine. He believes in the resurrection, the Trinity, those kinds of things. But it is in that he has done certain things, as I mentioned, that have changed the tone. And he's also changed the way that the pope lives. He's moved out of the Apostolic Palace. He drives his own car. He makes his own phone calls. He speaks in a different way. Remember, John Paul was primarily a philosopher, and Benedict was a theologian, and so they spoke in that language. Francis, as a former Jesuit and former archbishop, I think speaks as a pastor, speaks as a parish priest might speak in his homilies. And so in a sense, there's a different language that's being used that's coming out of the Vatican these days.
How about in that first encyclical, was that truly changing the focus to serve the poor rather than to become consumed by all of these big contentious issues in the church?
Well, once again, yes and no. The church has always, since its foundation 2,000 years ago, served the poor. And it is still, particularly in the developing world and in the inner city here in the United States, the primary way that a lot of people meet the church is through their outreach, to the poor. But he did say in an interview with us at America Magazine in September that we can't be obsessed with some of the things that the church has seemed to be obsessed with, gay marriage, birth control, abortion, those kinds of things. So he is saying, we need to look at, what has been historically, the foundation of one of the, main ministries, which is working with the poor. So he is trying to shift the focus a bit.
Well, those are the kind of actions that have made the world declare that this is an all new pope. And he has added a kind of layer of transparency to this cloaked mystery of an ancient institution. I'm wondering what that means inside of the church, how the Vatican is run, how Catholics regard themselves as members of the church. How do you think that's changed?
Well, any time that a Catholic, likes the Pope or feels connected to the Pope means that the the Catholic himself or herself feels more connected to the church. That's just, you know, sort of psychologically. But, you know, to your point, he also appointed, I think, KPMG and McKinsey to help out with the Vatican Bank. You know, there's more transparency there. He is someone who I think is ready to shake things up. And a friend of mine in Rome told me that one of the reasons the cardinals voted for him, this guy is a very, you know, sort of influential person himself, said that because they knew that he would be able to change things even in 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid of shaking things up. And like a good Jesuit, he's very free. He doesn't worry about how things were done in the past. That's not as much of a concern to him.
Right. We hear a lot of the bold statements. How about internal statements that don't get as much attention? You know, how is he talking about the clergy? How is he talking about ordaining women as priests, for example?
Well, you know, one thing he said the other day, which was pretty shocking, was he gave a talk to the heads of men's religious orders. And he said, if we don't train people well, train them, you know, in their heart, you know, make them compassionate people, we would be creating, quote, little monsters, end quote.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, that is really strong, strong, strong language. And the other thing he did, which may have flown under some people's radar, is, you know, in the church we have this honorary title, Monsignor, for priests, usually giving to parish priests, but also people in the Vatican. He abolished that title for people under 65. That is, there will be no new Monsignors under the age of 65. That's a big change. I mean, it's taking away what he doesn't like, which is, you know, what's called clericalism within the church. So these are big internal changes that are really shaking things up.
All right. The internal changes aside, how about the rest of the world? I mean, there are a decade of stories of well-publicized stories about clerical abuse of children for the Catholic Church to deal with, a lot to make up for. How is he addressing the outside world?
Yeah, one of the things he did was to immediately create a commission, a high-level Vatican commission, to take a look at that and to the sexual abuse crisis and to put into, you know, sort of more formally what dioceses need to do, you know. So I think he's trying his best. It's a very difficult problem, and it's been dealt with, you know, a lot on the local level, but not as much on the Vatican level. So I think that's one thing that he's trying to do. He's trying to kind of raise it up and give it more, what would you say, kind of institutional oomph, you know, by putting it at that Vatican level.
As you alluded to, it seems like every week there is another story about Pope Francis. On New Year's Eve, we heard reports that he left a voicemail for a group of Spanish nuns. He secretly visited the homeless in Rome just around Christmas time. Stories that he used to ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, once a bouncer at a club in Argentina. Is this just a very well-calculated PR campaign?
No, I don't think he's – I mean, he's not calculating and he's not sort of putting these stories out there. They kind of leak out. You know, part of it is, you know, he's a Jesuit. I'm a Jesuit. Most Jesuits, you know, have had, you know, sort of lives before they entered the religious order. So, you know, I worked for GE. I mean, I, you know, had a different kind of career. And, you know, he was a bouncer. He did all sorts of things. So I think he's comfortable with showing people his background and his humanity. I think that phone call to the nuns was pretty funny. He's also someone with a good sense of humor, and he doesn't take himself very seriously at all.
What did he say to the nuns?
He said it was a group of Carmelite nuns who are cloistered, and he said, where are you nuns that you can't pick up the phone? You know, the answer is obviously praying, but it is pretty funny. And it was very good-natured, and he just called to wish them a happy new year. You know, he sent me a letter a couple months ago. I sent through a friend of mine some copies of my books in Spanish, and he sent me a letter, a personal note. And I mean, I almost fell off my chair.
Wow.
I mean, you know, well, you can imagine someone who, you know, is obviously very busy, you know, who takes the time to write out a handwritten note. So it's quite something. He's a very authentic and real person. I love the guy. I mean, I think he's just fantastic.
Well, you're not the only person who says it. I mean, in very anecdotal circles, people are talking about how much they love this pope. How about more conservative Catholics? How are they reacting?
Most of them, I think, like him a great deal. Most of them, I think, are happy to see the church, you know, portrayed in a more positive light. There are some people that are disturbed. He's speaking a lot about the poor. That is not to say that all conservative Catholics are having trouble with that, but I would say some are. And it's disturbing for a lot of people. But you know what? It should be disturbing. Jesus was disturbing. And one of the summary ways of looking at Catholicism is that as Catholics, we should comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And that's what he's doing.
We're speaking with Father James Martin, author and editor-at-large of the magazine America. That's a Jesuit magazine. He also has the high distinction of being chaplain of the Colbert Report. We're talking about rethinking Catholicism, led largely by Pope Francis, and a series of very notable public actions and statements that are causing people to rethink the papal office. And that is a question. How deeply does this go, Reverend Martin? On one hand, you have Dan Savage, of all people, praising the Pope for saying, "Who am I to judge gay priests?" But then says he's disappointed to hear about gay adoption being allowed in Malta. Now, should this come to any surprise to us?
Well, by the same token, that second comment was reported by a bishop. The Pope said this to me. And so we didn't hear from the Pope directly. Later on, in that same talk to the heads of religious orders, he said he talked kind of warmly about the children of gay marriages, you know, who are adopted by gays and lesbians. And he said, you know, we can't inoculate them against the faith. In other words, we need to welcome them into the church, which was a very positive way of speaking about children, of gay couples. So, frankly, I thought that taken with the "who am I to judge" comment was very pastoral. The point is that, you know, we've not heard these kinds of words or that kind of tone coming from the Vatican before. "Who am I to judge" is quite different. I mean, those may be the five most famous words he'll ever say. I mean, that is a big change. He hasn't changed doctrine, but that is a significant change. And, you know, he was man of the year for The Advocate, the gay and lesbian magazine. And, you know, I always tell people the proof's in the pudding. Look how gays and lesbians are responding to him. That means something has changed.
Hmm. So this is one man, and we're looking at a very ancient and entrenched Roman Catholic hierarchy in many different places. How much can he actually accomplish when faced with such a huge worldwide organization that may disagree with him?
I think a lot. I think the cardinals and bishops. Now, remember, you have a lot of cardinals, archbishops, and bishops who are really on the ground, you know, with their people working in favelas and slums. And we tend in the West to think of cardinals and archbishops as, you know, guys who live in these very nice houses and things. But, you know, I worked in the developing world and most of them don't. You know, they're living kind of very simply. But, you know, the Pope sets the tone. And so for cardinals and bishops and archbishops, they're taking their lead from him. I know a lot of them who have said to me that, wow, he's getting me to think about things in a different way. Some of them might be more kind of suspicious or wait and see. But most of them are saying, hey, this is my boss, basically, and I need to kind of, you know, see what he's inviting us into, which I think is fantastic.
Father James Martin of America Magazine, it's a Jesuit magazine, chaplain of the Colbert Report, and author of the upcoming book, Jesus, A Pilgrimage. Thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure.